Problem solving is a transferable skill that I find very, very important. Reinventing yourself is a skill that I admire, and self-reflection.
Hey everyone, Gordon here. Thanks for coming to the Get Stuff Done podcast. If you're with us for the first time, a very, very warm welcome. If you're a regular listener, thank you so much for coming back again. You found your way to one of our GSD Insights episodes. In this series, which we release every other week alongside the Get Stuff Done episodes, we take a deep dive into the area of expertise of our guest. They share their perspectives on a current or future trend, and we really hope that it's thought-provoking for you. So let's jump right in. I hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. I'm your host, Gordon Dudley, and I'm delighted to welcome another international guest to the podcast today, Arno Peppercorn. He is currently the Chief Talent Officer at Omnicom Media Group, which is an international media marketing communications company based out of New York. But Arno is based in the Netherlands, where he is from, and Arno has been recognized for his commitment to advancing diversity and inclusivity in the workplace over his career that has spanned a couple of decades. He is also the co-founder of Include Now, a foundation that advocates for creating inclusive environments and celebrating diverse perspectives. And so I think that he has a lot of perspectives and good insights to bring to us when it comes to getting stuff done, working as he is with people in international organizations. So Arno, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm interested always in the international element and how companies vary culturally country to country. Yeah. One question I often ask people is, so Omnicom's an American company.
Yeah.
Are you working for an American company in Holland, or are you working for a Dutch company with American headquarters?
The latter, the last one, definitely.
Interesting. Dutch. Okay.
And on certain degree, you see that you are working for an American company.
Okay.
So that has to do with structure, our learning platforms and the likes of those.
Yeah.
They need to be, in my opinion, they need to be localized. So if anybody at Omnicom the US is looking for at this point, oh no, I'm going to be fucked. Then there needs to be a realization, but not just Omnicom, but just America as a whole, mm-hmm. that Europe is a different place to work in. Mm. So I used to run a company in Holland called Exponential, mm-hmm. And I was responsible for the Benelux, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands. Now, Luxembourg is bullshit because really nobody lives there and we weren't making any money. But then my CEO called me one day and he said, "You're responsible for Copenhagen, right? Because Copenhagen is in Amsterdam." And I was like, Yeah, man, I'm responsible for Copenhagen. So, but the problem is that I now have Benelux in my title. So can we upgrade it to Northern Europe for that point? And, you know, but he honestly had no clue. And he was a really smart man.
Yeah, but in that aspect, severely lacking. There's actually a really good book that I came across a few years ago by the author Erin Meyer. It's called The Culture Map.
Yeah, you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in my book.
And see, I just love that because especially on the point of rather than putting countries and regions into boxes and saying, oh, you know, this region's like this, it identifies these relative similarities and relative differences of countries within region.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there are some ways in which the Dutch and the British are so similar and yet in some ways entirely different.
Definitely.
And the same applies for any other country you want to put in. And so that means that in some ways you can do things the same way, no problem. But in other aspects, you've got to you know, start from scratch and really work out how it goes. And so that was because definitely my experience is the same, is that Europe is very much put into one box. Often it becomes EMEA, right? Which is
yeah.
which is a really, like, you talk about like maximum diversity within.
Yeah.
within one region, which is problematic. So what are some of the things, and maybe the time of year is nice to say it, right? This episode will be going out in the new year, 2025 new year. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges being faced in talent right now?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think the biggest challenge is that there is an age group of 20 and 30 that is being immensely emotional, overloaded with information right now, and has a very, very different future ahead of them than my generation had, for instance. So the biggest challenge is to make people see each other and stop pretending, and this is a difficult one for an inclusion guy, but stop pretending that everybody is the same and start acting upon the fact that everybody is different, but they just wanted to be treated equally. So listening to talent is a very important part of our journey as society, I think, as a whole, as a company on a micro level, and accepting different outlooks on how we can do a better job. Now, I went to the Google office in Dublin a couple of years ago, and there was a presentation by, I forgot his name, but he was presenting the fact that in, and this was like 2018 or so, that in 10 years time, 65 or 70% of the jobs would be jobs that we didn't know at 2016, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So the whole way of working, thinking, the industry is changing.
Educating.
Yep. So extremely rapidly that we need to be there where it's going and not wait until we're there, if that makes any sense. It sounds a lot better in Dutch, but I hope you understand. For me, this may sound like non-visionary at all, but I really believe we need to get back in touch with what human people are, human nature is, sorry. We lost track of that, and we are losing an entire generation on the black hole that it's called itself social media. Yeah, if you see the impact that it's having on our young generation, and even the generation before 20, it's worrying me, so to say.
And so, are there people like yourself and myself who have a voice, whether that is within the organization or publicly through networks? What can we do? What are some of the things that you would like to maybe try to do in the next few years?
Well, first of all, make sure that this is embedded within a company. This vision should be embedded within companies to really make people throughout the company better with the help of education. To educate is not just there for the young people. You need to educate your senior layer, your management layer. Everybody company should be educated throughout their career. And I'm not talking about that bullshit PowerPoint presentation that you get every month. True education and true listening to one individual's talent. That's one. Two, individuals like yourself and myself, we can simply speak, raise our voice, realize that we have a very privileged background, you and me especially. We're both, you know, I believe you're over 40.
I am.
And we're white men. So we have to realize that we can create a path for people with less privilege. And I'm not saying people with less opportunities or with a lesser background, but with a less lower rate of privilege. And that's just a fact. So we need to make way for each other, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And is that something that, you know, are you already trying to do that on the micro level with your team? Is that something that you see? What are some of the things that you're doing? I mean, I just want to get some, if you can, some practical examples.
So, yeah, we created an academy that is basically, that consists of three periods in a year period. So the academy is called the YUMI Academy, which stands for Human and Media. And the first 3 months or the first 6 months consists of a program where you go from 12 media topics, the likes of programmatic search, AI, stuff that we do within our company, and we show you what it is, and you being the student, but I will come to the student later. The other part is the human part, and there we will teach over a six-month program around leadership, mental health, health, sleep, energy, food, menstruation, the impact of menstruation that females experience in their work experience. It's a very in-depth course to not only grow your skill talent side, but also grasp you and help you in your human struggles that you have and give you the confidence to be the best you. Because I honestly believe that if you look at individuals, you can find a sweet spot that is called talent. Now, if it's applicable for our company, we can thrive on that and make it bigger. If it's not applicable for the company, then you can at least have the courtesy to tell a person to go somewhere else and explain it to them.
I love that.
That's the first 3 months. After those 3 months, the students will go for a one or two specialization course. So for instance, they go for social media and programmatic, and we sort of train them in depth. And after that, they will flow into the organization and work for Omnicom as a specialist in their craft. So that's very concrete what we are doing. Now, on the front end side, in recruiting this talent, it's a matter of being somewhere else than where the industry is right now.
Okay.
Right now, everybody is, you know, we are taking people over from WPP, or WPP is taking people over from Omnicom, blah, 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 blah. And you see, especially in a small market like Holland, you know, you see the same sort of people moving around the industry. And the new people entering are very much talented as well, but they are also the same sort of people. Not bad people, very, very good people, but they look the same, talk the same, walk the same, and their output is the same. And
think the same. Yeah.
and that's not bad towards those individuals, but a company such as Omnicom should be able to collect different thinkers, and thinking and output of creativity is also formed by culture, education, how were you brought up, region, sexuality, gender, religion. They are all indicators of where your ideas will flow to.
For sure.
And I truly believe that we need to be very much aware that we collect different way of thinkings within the creative media industry in order to produce the best work that we can produce for our clients, because that's obviously our job, but also in order to create teams that are far more effective and just a lot more fun to work with.
Yes, fun, I think I think fun is going to be a greater theme than it's ever been before, right? If we go back in time, work was not supposed to be fun. It was purposely not fun because it was work.
Yeah.
And I think the more choice we have, the more free flow of information that we have to see what's widely available. If it's not fun, people are not going to do it. And not do it in a hard sense of take the job or not take the job, but even more so this, you know, this whole trend of quiet quitting, productive or not, right? Giving their full self or not, because there's a choice to not have to do that. And I think that's definitely something that will change. If companies don't change themselves, then that they're going to fall.
Definitely. I fully agree.
In terms of effective teams, in your mind,
I hope you're enjoying this episode. I just wanted to remind you to click subscribe if you haven't done so yet. By subscribing and following the podcast, you'll get each and every episode automatically pop up on your playlist every week, so you won't miss any. Thank you so much for being with us. Now let's get back to our guest.
What does the recipe for an effective team look like?
For me, the effectiveness is a responsibility. So give your team the responsibility and make it very transparent where you want to go. Look at the different skill sets that individuals have and give them the task to go to the responsibility without micromanaging them. That for me makes the most effective teams. Now, obviously, this goes, we have to be very much aware that I'm just solely talking about the industry that I work in. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not applicable for a hospital or a building construction company, because then planning comes into place and the likes of those. But these are the main recipes for effectiveness, in my opinion.
Okay.
And so, brutal honesty. Please. Sorry.
Yeah.
Brutal honesty.
Brutal honesty from everybody.
To each other. You have to work on a culture where everybody can be brutally honest.
Gary Vaynerchuk said, yeah. Radical candor, right?
Definitely. By which, and I wanna sort of put an asterisk on this, brutal honesty doesn't mean that you can be, for instance, a racist or sexist motherfucker. Because then you can hide behind you.
Not helpful.
Brutally, no, that's disrespectful behavior. We don't tolerate that. But within boundaries and within the boundaries of effectiveness and goal setting, we need to be able to tell each other the truth.
Have you come across the practice that some companies go to? I don't know whether this is something that companies have come up with themselves or whether it was kind of consultants coming in and helping with this, where... And maybe it's Amazon that does this, that the leader is put on a hot seat. And in that hot seat, it is a fixed amount of time. I don't know if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but it's one way. It's everybody giving feedback to the leader, to the manager.
Yeah.
And there's no allowance for them to respond. There's no rule is that they don't. In that moment, it's purely listening, accepting, taking on board that direct feedback, yeah. Something like that.
That's very interesting, because on my way over to my house, I was listening to the radio, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the Olympic Games in Paris, mm-hmm. and the success the Dutch Olympic team had. Mm-hmm. And one of the main reasons that the athletic team was so successful is that they did exactly what you're now saying. So they had the coach trainer of Sifran Hassan present, this is what I want to do with Sifran, this is my plan, blah, 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 blah. And then he had to step aside and all the other coaches could tell him, he couldn't reply, what they were thinking about this coaching scheme and the trading scheme. And he just had to take it in and go home and you know, grabs what he wanted to grab. So that's basically what you're saying. And that's very, very interesting to do so. And not every, there needs to be a realization that not every company culture is ready for this kind of concept.
Absolutely not.
Because normally criticism is being perceived as negative.
Yes.
Or it's a one-way street.
And even more than that, often this very free flow of feedback uncovers significant deficiencies the people who have those titles, because there hasn't been a very objective way to put those people in place.
I fully agree. They get to where they are by doing what they do. And that's, you know, no disrespect to anybody, but there's a lot of people at positions that you have to wonder, are you there because you've been doing it for 30 years, or are you there because you are really excellent at it? And those who are really excellent at it, they will sort of, they be visible in the future. And the ones who are just there because, you know, they're there, they are going to have a difficult time in the upcoming 15 years.
Is there anything that you're doing in your organization to capitalize on those very high potential talents, the ones which might not have that title yet? They might not be having a high position, but there's clearly evidence that they have a lot to offer. Is there anything that you're doing proactively to try to address that kind of imbalance?
Yeah, we try to map them out, see them, okay. Listen to them, and come up with a plan to bring them where they think they want to be. That's one. And the other way around is that we try to be very clear about the direction we think we should be going as a company.
Okay.
And by being more transparent about that part, then people can cling on and say, this is, oh, wow, are we going in that direction? This is something that I really, really aspire or can do. And then you can start developing those people. So, yeah, I think Omnicom has a couple of programs in place where we are successful in doing so. But we can always do better.
For sure. For sure. And in relation to that, I often am curious about, specialists versus generalists and companies. Sometimes large companies, they put people in rotation, and sometimes these people maybe have a lot of years of experience, but they're a specialist of nothing. Very difficult to be employed anywhere outside of the organization because their only speciality is the way in which the organization itself works. Do you have a view on that about that kind of balance, striking the balance?
Yeah, well, my view is, and I know this is a very generalist answer, is you have to sort of peel a person like an onion to come up with what it is that they are good at. And then you will find that they can do a lot more than just be that specialist within this company. If you look for the reasoning behind it, why they are good at what they're doing, then you can sort of rewrite their entire resume. And the challenge lies within the acceptance of the labor market as a whole. If they accept skill set versus title and experience. So that gap needs to be closed, if that makes any sense.
Yes. No, you're right. And the data shows it, right? These tests where people have put on their resume or CV, bigger name companies, recognizable name companies, but in the detail of their description, they've put just rubbish, filler, stuff that's totally unrelated.
Yeah.
But they still get an interview because it's tick box exercise for, and it goes back even to education, right? This person graduated such and such a university. They must be good.
He just killed the CEO in the US, I think.
Keeping it very topical. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that has shocked. It's really shocked so many people, right? They can't believe that could happen, but indeed it does. And so then transferable skills within the organization and beyond the organization, what do you consider to be the most valuable transferable skill?
Oh, wow. That's
more than one, potentially, if the ones that you look for, the ones that you think can really make a difference.
For me, problem solving, Alan.
Okay.
Problem solving is a transferable skill that I find very, very important. Reinventing yourself is a skill that I admire. Uh-huh. And self-reflection.
To be honest, from your almost very first answer about getting stuff done and leadership, you were talking about having a high level of self-awareness. And I think that's incredibly important. And now you've mentioned it again, because I think that reflection leads to the self-awareness. And then it can allow you to do so much more, right? It allows you to know what are your specialities, what are you good at, where are you effective and not. And you've also said you're very clearly aware of what you're not good at, and that's equally as important as knowing what you are good at. And it takes time, right, as well. You can't, self-awareness is not something that you just do it and you have it. You try things out, you learn from that, you become a little bit more self-aware, and so you build it up over time. So okay. Well, Arno, thank you for sharing all of your insights. I think we're pretty much out of time. I really enjoyed, we covered a lot of different topics, I believe, within that time. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if anybody would like to reach out to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to do that?
I like doves.
Doves? Pigeons? Sending?
No, you just put me, find me on LinkedIn. That'll be easier, but I would appreciate a pigeon every now and then.
A pigeon for the new year. I mean, I just checked the stats. This podcast is listened to, or has been listened to, people in more than 50 different countries. Are you ready to receive doves from 50 different countries?
I am. I think my neighbors won't be, but fuck it.
Well, on that note, once again, Arno, thank you so much for joining us. And to everybody who's listened to this episode, I really appreciate you being a part of the Get Stuff Done podcast. If you're not yet a subscriber, you need to get on that. Make yourself a subscriber so you get every new episode coming into your playlist when every new episode comes out. And if you were to be so good as to give us a review, I would also really appreciate that so that we can reach even more people through the Get Stuff Done podcast. This has been your host, Gordon Dudley. And remember, let's get stuff done. And that's another episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to get involved and you have someone who you think would be a good guest for the podcast, please drop me a message and I'll be happy to get in touch. Alternatively, if you would like to share this episode on your social media, that would also be extremely appreciated by us. Thank you so much once again. Remember, let's get stuff done.